It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's Best Deal Ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple?
Don't ruin it.
Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the refs disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Up, bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, June 26th, 2026. And you know what happens in the summertime? Your grass grows, and when it grows, people come mow it. They make sounds in the background.
Yes. Apologies if you hear the lawn people. They love a lawn blower. I mean, a leaf blower.
I'm a lawn blower, and that's where I'll go to my neighbor's house.
The leaf blower, man, it's 2026. We can come up with something better.
That's not gas powered, genuinely.
I think so. And that isn't so fucking loud that
it's criminal.
We have to shut everything down because it's so loud.
Wasn't it Kate Blanchett who was like, her Subway take was like, they should all be banned. All leaf blowers should be banned.
Yeah,
she's like,
it's either Kate Blanchett or Helen Mirren, maybe?
Somebody it's like very elegant that you're like, yes, me too. You're right.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Wherever you're at, the leaf blowers are not blowing and the lawn blowers are blowing and making you happy and you're having a wonderful Friday. As we get together to share some jaw-dropping stories as well as a snake theory we've got.
We have a snake theory and
love
it's
it.
A good one.
I like
it's
it.
A good one. We're
Thank
saving
you.
It for the end. Jafar.
Jafar lives.
R.I.P. Jafar.
For real. But we do want to invite you all to come with us to try and call the orbs down. We've been trying to do it in Christie's backyard.
Not working, you guys.
My estimate hypothesis is that there's too much light pollution from Dallas and like the EMF radiation. We've got too much going on. So we got to get out somewhere. We need to get out in the water where there's nothing around us where we can just call the orbs down to
it's
us.
It's just open
water.
Air and endless dark ocean.
Well, have we got a time for you to do that? February 8th through the 12th. We haven't told Crime Wave or Royal Caribbean we'll be having an orb calling ceremony, but it's not in the policy that we
fine.
Can't. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. So go to Crime Wave at Sea.
For forgiveness is what I say.
Exactly.
Not permission.
We are not asking for permission. That's what I like to do. It's what I did on the last Crime Wave when I moon bathed nude. So crimewaveatsea.com, use code SINISTER and get one of the final. There's a handful of cabins left. Apologies if you go to sign up and it's sold out by now, by the time you hear this. But it's we had said earlier on, like our goal was to maybe get sold out by the summertime and it looks like we are there. So
we're go to selling out, yep. Everybody.
Everybody's selling out. We have to because it's one of those ships. It's like not fun if there's not a bunch of people on with us.
No. Gotta,
y'all are what makes Crime Wave at Sea fun. We're fun, sure. Henry and Ed from last podcast, great time. Casey from Case File, True Crime Campfire, True Crime Garage, A Paranormal Chicks, Scared to Death. There's so many friends, old and new, Richard from Unexplained, but we're nothing without you all. So come hang out with us, and that's what's going to get the orbs.
Yeah, they'll come down once we all get together. I'm confident of it.
Y'all are what makes the difference. Go to crimewaveatsea.com, use code SINISTER, and let's get the fuck out of here and get some orbs. Call them down.
Well, in the meantime, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Beth, who says, maybe don't read the subject line so we don't give away her most unbelievable brush with true crime. So I'm going to save the subject line for the end.
I do this on BoCo sometimes. Like, if you do. Am I the Asshole or something, you want to let people get into it. And we just recorded an Am I the Asshole. And on that one, I wanted you to know the titles, but some of them we got to obscure them. So
some of them, it's more fun. Yeah. And I wouldn't say this story is fun.
No.
But it reveals what, you know, that we don't want spoilers, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Well, Beth writes, the names in this story have been changed, but I included a link with the story. Several years ago, I was attending a church I have since deconstructed that had two campuses, a big older one with the pre-K through eighth grade school in the city I live close to, and a new family-oriented one with a daycare and preschool in the suburb I lived in. I went to the smaller one right by my house with my family and my daughter, who was in third grade at the school by the main one. When we'd been there for about 8 months, a prayer request appeared in the bulletin for the organ player, Anita, at the main campus. She was a nurse who had three daughters, some adult and some still minors, all living with her after their family had experienced a recent tragedy. It was mentioned during prayer time that week that her oldest daughter, Hannah, was in the hospital with odd symptoms. I was told later that Anita's husband, Jim, had passed away from natural causes at 61 a year prior. He was a smoker and sometimes bartender who played in a band, so natural causes was easy to believe. 147 days later, her adult son, Brian, also passed away after a three-week flu-like illness at just 26 years old. Anita had said Brian was prone to seizures, and it was ruled natural causes as well. Hannah had recently graduated college and never had health problems, so the fact she was now gravely ill stood out to several people. The next week, the bulletin had a notice to all parishioners that if they were approached by Dateline to just say no comment. There was also another prayer request for the health of Hannah, who was receiving treatment and expected to live. Me, being a huge Dateline fan, and my mom being nosy, asked around and got the story of the family members that had already died. More gossip said that someone from the church had gone to the police with concerns about the circumstances of the deaths and illnesses. Dateline was coming to town to see if they could get to the bottom of the story before there were any arrests. A few weeks later, the episode aired and we got all the tea. Our head pastor, Sean, who would take literally anyone for a cup of coffee, had a regular coffee meetup with Jim before his death. Jim wanted to be a bigger believer since Anita loved the church so much. He spoke with Sean often about his issues with church to try and get past them so he could attend with his wife. Sean was very surprised when Jim died since he'd met with him regularly, and his illness came on fairly quickly. When Brian died, Sean's senses went up a little more. After Hannah was hospitalized, Sean had to go to the police and tell them that he didn't think that Jim had died of natural causes. They got a search warrant for Anita's house and found several items, including antifreeze and several journals. The journals belonged to the second oldest daughter, Shelley. Inside, there were details about how Shelley and her mom were going to get rid of their, quote, useless family members one by one with antifreeze. Jim was unemployed, Brian was disabled, and Hannah was back home with a mountain of student debt. In Shelley's own words, only the quiet ones would be left, Anita, Shelley, and the youngest daughter, Brittany, a minor. Anita and Shelley were arrested. Shelley pled guilty to lesser charges in exchange for testifying against her mother, claiming Anita was the mastermind. When Anita went to court, she decided to take an Alford plea, but made sure to maintain that Shelley had had just as much a hand in it as Anita had. Both were given life in prison, with only Shelley being eligible for parole. A statement from Hannah was read in court. She is both physically and cognitively disabled due to the poisoning and is in the custody of a state guardian. In Hannah's own words, not only she took away my dad and brother, she also took away my livelihood and my independence. I prefer to be a survivor than a victim. I guess you truly never know what goes on inside the mind of anyone, even quiet organ-playing nurses. Love for all you are and do, Beth.
Beth, what a chilling situation for all of these victims, man. This is somebody that you're like, she's a nurse. She'll care for us. When she and the daughter, Anita and Shelley, were like coming up with, well, should we go to with poisonous plants? Should we do this type of poison? And they decided on antifreeze because they could get tasteless antifreeze. And we kind of skipped a short step. She confessed to all of it. Anita did to a detective. Initially, she said, well, I don't know why they're sick. And then she said, well, maybe they wanted to drink the antifreeze. And he's like, who mentioned antifreeze? And then she's like, well,
who wants to drink that?
Yeah, nobody. He's like, well, she said, well, they wanted to kill themselves. That's why they did it. And then the detective very slowly chipped away and got her to admit, no, she was the one that did it.
And the subject line was when church gossip helped catch a serial killer, and that she is she really in her is. Own family.
I'm glad for that pastor to break privilege. And I mean, you usually should not break, you know, pastoral privilege unless you think somebody is a danger to themselves or others. And I think she was absolutely a danger to others. And he did the right thing to go and tell the authorities and not just be like, it's an internal church matter and we're going to settle it here. It's like, people are fucking dying.
Yeah. And we've seen so many churches do just that when abuse happens under their purview. And normally it's people abusing other people in the congregation, specifically children. This wild man, and wild to coerce your adult daughter to help you. And then you still have a minor daughter who's now lost half her family. And, you know, I don't know where she's at now. Maybe she's an adult, but that's just... Every time I see something, it's like the mushroom lady. Mm-hmm. It's like, why don't you just fucking like leave. Go no contact? You don't have to kill everybody that's in your family that you don't like. Just don't talk to them anymore.
I'm like, so what? Your kid has student loan debt. That's not going to come back on you. That's fine. Most people don't even pay them. It's fine. We should just erase them all anyway. It's a big burden around. It's an albatross on everybody's neck. But that aside, it is really sad because some other information seemed to indicate that the younger daughter was going to eventually be a target potentially, because this Anita was very obsessed with Shelley. They said that all of her Facebook posts were just like, she's the best daughter. She's so smart. She has all these accomplishments. She's the only one that does anything. And all her other posts about her kids would be like, Hannah graduated.
Yeah.
Like, period. You know, it wouldn't be like this gushing, whatever, over it. So it's so weird to see a parent go that way and become fixated on their one kid to the detriment of everyone else, of like, we're the only good ones that deserve to be left. Let's kill everyone.
It's a specific kind of abuse. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Shelley was a victim too. Mm-hmm. She, when you're the kid that is the favorite, that can oftentimes be just as damaging as the one that isn't, because you're roped into helping kill your own family members and brainwashed and abused in other ways. And now in prison, I don't know. I'm glad that the mom will never get out. Shelley, also, they quickly turned on one another when push came to shove with like throwing each other under the bus. Anita throwing her daughter under the bus, man, that just shows you, like, she never had loyalty to her. And at some point, she would also take her out. If Shelley didn't take her mom out.
Right. So there was, if Shelley shows like, oh, you're being weak, or you're doing something that's, or you, God forbid, you get hurt and disabled. That's the thing about disabilities, is that, like, just because you don't currently live with a disability, that's the group, the affinity group that any of us, the marginalized group that any of us could join at any time. The idea of Shelley being like, I'm going to kill my brother because he's living with a disability, or I'm going to kill my sister because she has a learning disability or whatever. Godspeed that you don't ever get a traumatic brain injury or something like that, or an amoeba that causes you whatever. So it's I always hate to see, I mean, obviously any discrimination, but particularly like, I'm going to kill you because you have this disability, when it's such a cold and callous thing. That's like the opposite of what a mom should do. You know,
only the quiet ones will survive.
Yeah. It was
chilling.
So chilling.
Sounds like regurgitated words too. Anita's words, Shelley writing them.
It's like a threat, a thinly veiled threat. You're right though, to bring up Aaron Patterson. It very much feels like that. But damn, Beth. Oof. Glad you got out of there.
Yeah, good for you on deconstructing from that. That is a hard thing to do.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You know that hoodie you can't stop reaching for? The one that feels like a second skin, soft, warm, and somehow makes you feel a little more grounded? I found it. And trust me, it's not what you expect. It's called Paka, spelled P-A-K-A. And if you're tired of hoodies that stretch out, pill, or feel heavy, this is the upgrade you've been waiting for.
Paka makes performance apparel from alpaca fiber, one of the world's most sustainable natural fibers. Their best-selling hoodie is softer than cashmere, warmer than wool, and breathable enough to wear year-round. It's lightweight but cozy, adapts to the weather, and it won't stretch out or pill. This is a hoodie built for real life. Thermoregulating, odor-resistant, durable, and made to last.
Each one is handcrafted in Peru with the artisan's name stitched into the tag as a mark of quality and care. Shout out to Olga and Rosemary who made mine. For over 100,000 people have already picked up a Paka hoodie, not only because it feels amazing, because it's made sustainably and ethically from traceable alpaca fiber while supporting the communities that create it. I got the woman's hoodie in blue in addition to the classic hoodie in green. And a scoop bralette in forage. Like, they have not just the hoodies. They've got socks. They've got everything I've had from Paka is soft on my body and has long-lasting high quality.
Absolutely. I got the Essential Mid-Rise Brief, some of the most comfortable drawers I own. I got the original Crew in Rosewood. I love the color. Mm-hmm. Just last week, I was wearing it on Sunday Scaries, someone commented what a lovely color it was. So it's the Rosewood Original Crew, and it is so comfortable and everything that Paka describes it will be. I also have their original hoodie in navy. Also, wonderful staple. And you like, we live in Texas. So if I can wear the Rosewood crew neck just last week, that shows you like how breathable they are.
It is. It's adaptable to the weather. Get you one now, baby.
To grab your Paka hoodie, go to www.pakaapparel.com. That's www.pakaapparel.com. Well, this next one is from your daughter, Anonymous.
Hello.
And is called A Chilling Tale of High School and Local Politics. Hi, friends. Before I jump in, I want to say thanks for being the voices in my ear as I drive to work, for talking about the things that matter, and using your platform to resist. I'm going to tell you a tale of high school and local politics because I think it serves as a kind of microcosm of what is going on at the national level in the U.S. Maybe it will shed a little light on what we are seeing take shape. As a teen, I went to a conservative Christian school. I gained a pretty good education from the school. It was rigorous academically, and I had some teachers who cared. However, we existed in the white evangelical Christian bubble. And unfortunately, that meant there was some startling rhetoric tossed about. For some reason, the teacher with the most extreme views was put in charge of two of the most influential subjects, history and Bible. Remember, we all believed the Bible was the inerrant word of God, so it was a subject that mattered. This teacher, we'll call him Mr. F, was a really nice guy, and that is the dangerous part. He was kind. Pretty much every student liked him. He was charismatic. He had kids at the school, and sometimes we would hang out at his house doing typical teenage things, like watching Napoleon Dynamite. He could make students feel welcomed and valued on a surface level, but what he taught was racist and misogynist AF. Here's a little sampling of some of the things we heard from him, as I remember it. English should be the official language of the U.S., and everyone should learn it and speak it. Everyone who moves to the U.S. should assimilate to, quote, American culture, because we are a, quote, melting pot, not a salad bowl. Of course, this meant assimilating to white U.S. culture. When looking at the history of how land was settled in the U.S., Mr. F. said we shouldn't believe in the idea of, quote, the noble. I won't use the word he said after that, and had us all write in our notebooks. It starts with S and referred in a derogatory way to indigenous people. He taught that Native Americans were dying off from warring among themselves, and their religious and spiritual practices were evil. This all fed the idea of manifest destiny, the idea that Europeans were meant to, as in ordained by God, to take over the land that is now the U.S. such a twisted version of history that somehow tried to justify and erase genocide all at once. Also, that was all we learned about Native Americans. Nothing about resistance and very little acknowledgement of different nations or cultures that very much are still here today. Side note, these three points were particularly troubling to me as an individual with mixed ethnic heritage. I am half white and white passing, and I wonder if he would have said those things in front of my class if my heritage had been more obvious. The rest of the list is equally troubling. But at the time, I was in the bubble and didn't know how to be anything more than confused by the teachings. He showed a video that portrayed the LGBTQIA+ community as predatory. He showed another video that taught that the Muslim religion is fundamentally dangerous and evil, saying that Muhammad forced conversions. But then he also taught out the other side of his ass that colonization was primarily about spreading God's word and omitted the genocides that resulted from colonization. The whole class pushed back on this one, and he just doubled down. He taught us that Halloween is evil. Celebrating Halloween was either satanic or witchcraft. I can't remember, but he showed some overhead slides of comics with kids being kidnapped and sacrificed on Halloween. I can't be sure, but maybe they were John Todd's. They were at least in that genre. Not everyone in the school agreed with all these views, but he was rarely confronted or called out. Sometimes the teachings would come up in other contexts, and adults around us would either agree, laugh, or treat them as mere nuances in their views, rather than incredibly harmful rhetoric. Now, fast forward a few years. The school was in debt and had to close. However, Mr. F and some others didn't want to let this school community die. So they started their own school, where he is headmaster. Ugh. I didn't really keep track of this school for many years until the pandemic hit and they made the news. They refused to enforce masking, and when teachers got sick, they refused to help with contact tracing. They even filed some lawsuits. Fast forward a couple more years. One of the guys who went to the same high school as I did at the same time decides to run for county commissioner, and he wins. I knew him in passing. It was a small school. I don't live in that county anymore, but I have family that does. And things got wild in the local politics. This person, we'll call him Joe, because that's his name, sends his kids to the school that Mr. F started. In a news article about Joe, the reporter interviewed Mr. F, who said he talks to Joe about every week. Joe started a whole fun group called Ottawa Impact. Their rhetoric reflects the teachings I listed above. Several commissioners that ran and won in that election were a part of this PAC. When they gained power on the county commission, they dissolved the DEI departments in the county as one of their first acts, which I guess doesn't sound that strange now, considering the moves a lot of entities are making now concerning DEI. But in 2023, they were ahead of the curve. They claim to protect children, but this is really a cover for homophobia. Speaking of homophobia, when the county health department went to local pride festivals in 2024, which is a very standard thing for a health department to do, the commission passed a resolution that prohibited county staff from participating in or putting resources toward or, quote, normalizing pride because they claimed it sexualized children, which means there were children and drag queens in the same space. It was so stigmatizing and oppressive. Think about the message that sent to any person who felt empowered by attending pride. This is it, y'all. This is how these beliefs, when taught and legislated, result in control, oppression, and marginalization. In the next election, several of those candidates got voted out, but it won't undo the harm they have already perpetrated. The resolutions passed, the budget distribution, the supportive structures that will need to be rebuilt. It's heartbreaking and infuriating. I don't think you could call it a cult takeover, but there are some cult vibes. The teacher I spoke about is, in my opinion, pushing white Christian nationalism. Now, he's not the one that ran for office, but he is still out there influencing. I can attest to the fact that the school I went to was not a very safe place to exist as a person of mixed ethnicity, and not a safe place to come out. I'm sure the school the teacher runs now is the same. I already know some of the ways these ideas hurt and oppress me and my peers, so their growing influence is painful to watch, and even harder as much of this rhetoric gains momentum on the national level. Thanks so much for reading this. I hope this adds a little context to what we are living through. And I hope even more people with these views will get voted out of office, denied power, and held accountable for their hate.
What a resume on both of these fellows, on both Joe and Mr. F. They're, thank you for sending the links that you sent. And you just hear folks like this, and it's ironic that they'll be like, insert other religion or other group and be like, they're trying to convert you and trick and trap you. And I'm like, every allegation is an admission of guilt. Like, that's actually what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Point a finger and three are pointing back at you.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. This sounds like white Christian nationalism, like so many of these groups. And I'm glad that you're out of it. I'm so sorry you had to experience that in your formative years of schooling, you and your peers. It gives me hope that the whole class pushed back against some
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows that, you know, we're getting through to kids, and they're smarter than their teachers give them credit for. A lot of them, they're forced to go to schools like that. They don't want to mm-hmm, be there. So mm-hmm. Fortunately, when they speak up, it's, you know, not taken seriously by these teachers. But when someone speaks up at a school like this, it gives everyone else the courage to speak up. And then if you got a whole class speaking up, that becomes way harder to ignore.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And I think that's the value of intersectionality, where I'm not native, I'm not indigenous, but where if I'm in a space and someone is pushing extremely harmful myths, straight up, I mean, damaging narratives, saying something of like, actually, that's not right. So deconstruction at home and like teaching your kids stuff at home so that when they are in that classroom, and also teaching them like, it's right to stand up for the right thing, even if it doesn't have nothing to do with you. You know, if he's going after the Latino kids and you're a white kid, you still go, don't talk about my brothers and sisters like that. So it's disheartening that people like this still exist. But I think that they are gravely outnumbered, in my hopeful heart, that they are very greatly outnumbered, especially by kids who are fixated on the truth and accuracy nowadays. I feel like younger and younger kids realize how accessible information is. And so when you're teaching them, like when they're like, people used to live on this land before we did. And you're like, yeah, they're Native Americans. Well, what happened? Like, I don't know. Let's look it up. Let's look up, you know, land acknowledgement kind of things, and giving them the real information. They're equipped to go, Mr. F, I think that F stands for full of shit, because you are. All of this is actually wrong that he said.
Yeah.
Man.
No, it's rewriting history. And mm-hmm. that is what the current administration wants to do. That's what white Christian nationalists want to do. Mm-hmm. Passing laws to get the Bible in class. Unfortunately, there was one recently passed in our state.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, I hope before it gets to the classroom, it's voted down. But
yeah.
It's still problematic and upsetting that it's even happening, because mm-hmm. we should only be moving forward, mm-hmm. and we're going back in time when schools do shit like this or the administration does stuff like this.
Yeah, when you hear administrators be like, in my day, there was a church on every corner and a Bible in every desk. And you're like, you're talking about the 50s. Like, this is not like we don't live there anymore, and we have access to better information sources and knowledge sources. And yeah, one of my teachers from high school, she actually was my high school senior English teacher. I saw her commenting on Facebook about that. And she's like, you know, it's one thing to say certain biblical passages are referenced throughout literature, and so it makes sense that you understand the mythology, the story of Cain and Abel, of Genesis. So when you hear someone say Eden, like, you know, a kid completely ignorant of the Bible, you're going to miss out on a vast number of literary allusions. But that's one thing to teach, like, literary allusions, and quite another to be like, this is the inerrant word of God.
This is fact.
You know, this is fact and true and really happened.
A snake slithered down out of that tree with an apple in its mouth, handed it to Eve, talked, and then she bit it. And goddamn, that's why all women suffer now and men are the better ones, wouldn't you know?
My question is, when you envision the snake in the Garden of Eden, what snake do you envision? Because I envision the snake from the Jungle Book. Is it not that one? It's not that one. Oh, no.
I just envision a large green snake slithering around the branches of a tree and then kind of slithering down out of the tree with an apple in its mouth.
So not from the Jungle Book.
Well, I think the Jungle Book one was green.
Yeah, but I just mean that goofy face.
Oh, I mean,
where he's like, ah,
in my opinion, the script of the Jungle Book and the Bible are one and the same.
Oh, so I'm sure it probably is.
You can think whatever you want as far as I'm concerned.
Just as accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there weren't cameras back then. Make it whatever you want.
Exactly. Maybe
make
it was
it a
animated.
Fun snake. If you want a fun snake in the Garden of Eden, so be it.
Dress it up how you want. Oh, mm-hmm. Man. Well, thank you so much for making us aware of all this, my sweet daughter Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Content warning. This discusses sexual assault. Well, this next one is from Beth, and I've titled it Kitchen Nightmares on behalf of Beth. So, Beth, I hope that is an appropriate title for this. Beth writes, I was listening to Freaky Friday the other day, and a story came to me about my own freaky day. I can't remember which episode it was that made me remember this, because I listen to about 8 to 10 hours of podcasts a day in my line of work. I'm a personal chef, and I don't really have a lot of interaction with my clients. When I was 18, I was working in a pizza shop in my hometown, Lexington, North Carolina. I haven't lived there since about the time this happened. I was what would be referred to as a wild teenager, especially for the time. This happened in 1997, and my hometown is very small, or it was back then. I was working my normal shift at this pizza place. I was new there, and I was the only employee on shift. The owner called me back to the back of the restaurant where the dish pit was. There was a door on each end of the room. It led to the outdoors and a bay of sinks against the far wall. Behind me was the cooler door. I am remembering this all in my head in slow motion like it was yesterday. I can't tell you what he said anymore, but I can tell you he pinned me up against the wall, a man with a wife and two children, and he put his hand down my pants. I was in a state of shock. I don't remember exactly what stopped him from going further. I want to say a customer came in and I had to go back up front. He then sent me out to Food Lion to get broccoli. He was just content to go on about the rest of his day like he had not just assaulted me. I went straight to the police station and filed a report. I then went home and called my mom. Several hours later, we had to go back to the police station. My mom, thankfully, was not in the room when this happened. The police went over the details of what happened to me, what time it was, 3 p.m., and checked to see if my story still matched up. It did. It will always match because there are certain things you just can't forget. You don't ever forget being assaulted by your boss when you're 18. They then told me this would go to trial, and because of his immigrant status, he would be deported to his home country of Egypt. Because he was a small business owner, he was very important to my city. Because I was a teenage girl who was probably promiscuous and probably used drugs, they would dig up every fact or story they, the county's district attorney, could find out about me from anyone who knew me or ever had an experience with me. By this point, I was heaving with racking sobs. No one, especially not a young adult, wants any of their dirty laundry aired out. No one goes to work expecting to be assaulted either. It shouldn't matter if after work every night I came home and used every drug on the planet, as long as I showed up for my shift sober, which I did. It also shouldn't matter if I'd slept with everybody I'd ever met, because consent is a thing. This was not something I consented to. This was at least 10 years before the Me Too movement, so victims were treated much differently than they are now. The police made me drop the charges that night. One of the policemen actually held my hand because I was shaking so hard that I couldn't write my own name. He held my hand and wrote my name for me, thus making me sign the paperwork to drop the charges against this man. I'm so glad that at least they entertain the idea of believing women now. I will be forever grateful for the women who stood up in the Me Too movement. No one should ever be treated like I was, and I hope no one ever is again. Your show does so much good in the world. Thank you so much for doing it. I think it's absolute bullshit that women are taught all the ways we have to defend ourselves against men, how hypervigilant we have to be for our own safety, and frequently, men just get to do whatever they want. To me, it's completely inconsequential that he was an immigrant and that he was a small business owner, but it wasn't to my city. The thing that bothers me the most is that because it would ruin his life, I had to swallow what he did to mine. That's what they said to me when they told me I would be dropping charges, that it would ruin his life. Why does it matter? Shouldn't it? I don't know how many more women he has victimized in the nearly 30 years since this happened. Somehow I doubt I was the last, but I really hope I was. I hope his close call with ruining his life changed the way he behaved moving forward with it. Somehow I doubt it, though. I feel like it only solidified that the police in my city were steeped in misogyny and that men could do whatever they wanted to us. There wouldn't be any consequences. I really hope that's changed, but this is a very conservative city, and from what I've seen, that only makes it worse.
My God, Beth, I am so sorry. And I am especially disheartened because while we are a lot better with victims nowadays, I think cases like the Brock Turner, or let's call him by the name he uses now, Alan Turner of Dayton, Ohio, cases where the judges go like, well, we can't ruin this great man. Yeah. And in that case, you know, Alan Turner was younger. But right now there is some uproar in the UK of they're calling it the Fording Bridge case. And content warning, two teen girls were attacked by other teenage boys in egregious ways, like telling them, oh yeah, go on a date with Billy and meet me under, you know, the bridge. And then two or three other kids are there and literally assault them and film it and put it on social media. And then 2 months later, do it again, making the girl leave her mobile phone back, making her leave her AirTag back. It's like sophisticated criminality, in my opinion, that you have premeditated, insidious luring, like ways, ruses to lure these girls there, and then also hold them at knife point. That's,
you know, how they learn about it all.
The internet. Yeah. Andrew Tate. And they're escalating too, because the first one, it was a ruse and he lured her. The second one, they straight up hold this girl at knife point, and the girl is even younger. So the fact that in this May, a couple weeks, months ago, the three boys were sentenced to like probation. I mean, they basically gave him a non-custodial sentence. They called a youth rehabilitation order. And the judge said, I want to avoid criminalizing these children unnecessarily, saying, none of you are going to go to prison today. And you just want to grab a judge like that and shake him by the shoulders and go, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah. You just let three, what will be, I bet you again, ask Paul Flores how many times he raped people after Kristen Smart. They don't stop. No. Once a rapist, always a rapist, period. And they have got to be severely and significantly punished, because what you just told 14-year-old boys, not just there, but the world over, is, well, you're young. Go out and gang rape as many girls as you want and film it. You might as well. And you know what? If you run a nice pizza joint in our town and it's successful enough, you can grope as many kids as you want, because it's an important pizza restaurant. I feel insane that I'm like, other people can run pizza restaurants.
Yeah, it's also insane to say to some 14-year-old boys, well, we don't want to ruin your life, which exactly what Beth said. Yeah. Well, you ruined mine. So what about all the young girls that were sexually assaulted and filmed, and then it's put on the internet where it lives forever, and they are 14. Imagine how the rest of their life is going to look because that happened to them. And imagine how it would have looked if it had never happened to them, or if their assaulters had been held accountable. But now they've learned, damn, men can really just do whatever the fuck they want, and they have no consequences. And they've been, their lives have been just like, well, we don't want to ruin it for you. And it's like, well, what about my life? Is it not as valuable?
And what about he ruined his own life? No, the girl didn't grab
the girl
his hand.
Did nothing.
And did nothing wrong. These teenage teenage girls in the UK did nothing wrong.
No.
They were existing. One girl thought she was going on a date and the other one was held at knife point. Beth thought she was working at a fucking pizza place.
Yeah.
So I think as a society, we have to get where if you or someone you love has been raped, you've got to kill the rapist. There's no other way. I mean, I'm kidding, obviously, but not, right? Because the 15-year-old girl in the UK, she said this felt like a rock straight to my face. She said, it makes it seem like the judge made it seem like it was fine for them to do that to us. And it's not fine. And it's against the law. And she said, what was the point, by the way, of putting me through a trial if nothing was going to happen to them? You could have pleaded this out earlier. Yeah. Like, you didn't have to drag me through all this shit. So this is not just shitting on the UK. It's just to say it's a global, worldwide sort of war on women at the protection of the mythical boys will be boys. They're so young or they're so brilliant or they're so important. Nobody is brilliant or important enough to rape people. Well, there's a song that Paris loves that I believe is called Dead Men Don't Rape. So, it's by a band called, I think 7 Year Bitch might have been it, but I'm not sure. He, either that or it's a cover of that original song, but he has like a female punk playlist. And I looked at the title one time and I was like, fuck yeah, babe. Fuck yeah.
There is not a song like that, but it is a beautiful song, very sad, by Sydney Rose called We Hug Now. And one of the lyrics in it is, you're just thinking it's a small thing that happened. The world ended when it happened to me. Mm. I have a feeling you got everything you wanted and you're not wasting time stuck here like me. You're just thinking it's a small thing that happened, but the world ended when it happened to me. And that is very apt here. Like, these boys might not think twice about these girls for the rest of their lives. And every day those girls will think about those boys.
100%. And to Beth's situation, I fucking hope that guy gets deported. I hope his pizza restaurant shuts down. I hope it explodes.
Die in a fire.
Yeah.
I hope your oven pizza explodes and you're in there.
Yeah. Burn him in the pizza oven.
Yeah. Burn him in the pizza oven.
But men are not precious. Nobody is more precious than the sanctity of someone's bodily autonomy. So my opinion is, if you are the type of person to continually violate people's bodily autonomy, you have lost the right to engage in our social contract. I don't go around shoving my
island.
I was going to say, you got to go to the Sharks with Laser Beams Island. I don't go around and fucking prostate examining dudes that don't want it. Like, first of all, I don't want to do that. But second of all, like, that's insane for me to be like, what? Yeah, I stuck my finger in his asshole when we were in the kitchen. What? That sounds insane.
It is insane. And if you had done that as a woman to a male employee, you would have received different consequences.
100%, I think so. So I'm sorry this happened to you, Beth. I hope that he did explode in a pizza oven incident sometimes in the last 30 years. And everybody that's ever hurt any of them, may their bodies burn in pizza ovens.
And this is a perfect example of, you think this guy thinks twice about what he did to Beth?
Mm-mm.
And Beth, you were writing in 30 years later, and you can remember it like it was yesterday, playing slow motion in your head.
Mm-hmm. And all I can think is, if hell is us feeling what people did to us, then rapists hopefully spend their eternity being raped. You know what I mean? Because like, it's like you feel the feeling that you gave to others. Like, enjoy that for eternity.
Here you go. Yeah.
You've reaped what you sow. Well, thank you, Beth, for sharing that with us. And our hearts go out not just to you, but to the folks in the UK, the girls in the UK, and anybody who's ever seen a piece of shit get off light for doing something to them.
Yeah. And everyone that sends their stories in like that. Mm-hmm. Beth, you heard a story that was similar and it prompted you to write in. And I'm sure your story will prompt others. So there's healing power in sharing. I wish none of you had to share your story at all, because I wish it didn't happen to you.
I wish it was a happier story, like you saw Bigfoot and he gave you a high five. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, this next one is from Shelby, and the title is You Let Him Hug You. This happened in May. My grandparents own a little country store in Northeast Texas. Since my grandpa passed away in September of last year, us grandkids who live nearby take turns on Gram's watch while she closes up the store. I had Gram's duty that day. This is a convenience store, meat market, and grill all rolled into one. You can get a very delicious burger, summer sausage, a tank of gas, and some Marlboros all in one go. I had my two small kids with me. My daughter, age one, and I were sitting at the large round table. I was getting her set up to color when this guy came in. He works at a local feed store and is friends with my kid's dad. They went to high school together and worked at this store together years ago. He walked over to the table, which sits by the meat counter and fountain machine, and said to my daughter, "You're as pretty as your mama." I smiled at her and said, "Say thank you." Then he walked around the table toward me to give me a hug. I didn't move. Then he tapped me on the back. Tap, tap. So I gave him a one-armed hug while still looking at my daughter. He said, "You knew I was going to give you one." I laughed it off. Trying to keep myself busy, I picked up a colored pencil and noticed it was dull. "Let's go sharpen it," I said. He replied, "If you have a knife, I'll sharpen it for you." I said, "That's okay. I'm going to go look for the sharpener. There are several that need it." I walked behind the counter where Grams was standing and started looking for it. He then said again, "Just get me a knife." I didn't respond. I kept looking. By this point, he had walked to the end of the counter and was standing there watching me and my daughter search for a sharpener that I couldn't seem to find. I asked my grandma if she knew where it was. She didn't. Then he said, "Why are you being so stubborn?" Again, I didn't answer. Then he said, "Just let me do it." About that time, I finally found the stupid thing. I said, "Oh, no, that's okay. Thanks. I'm going to use this electric sharpener." Then I went into the back office where he couldn't see me. The sharpener was loud enough that he couldn't really talk to me anymore either. It was awkward. It was uncomfortable. After he paid and left, I told my grandma, "Next time, if I don't see him coming in, warn me so I can go hide." She said, "I will. He snuck up on me too." I felt like I had to speak to him, like I had to hug him, even though that's not what I wanted. Why? I'm not entirely sure. Maybe it's because it's the kind thing to do. Maybe it's how I was raised. Maybe I wanted to avoid making a stink. But honestly, that's all bullshit. He had to have seen the discomfort on my face. He had to have noticed the way I kept trying to create distance. The first time I declined his help should have been enough. So often we're taught to be nice, polite, accommodating, not make a scene, not embarrass someone, not be rude. So when a situation suddenly feels uncomfortable, we try to avoid making it a problem. Thanks for letting me get this off my chest. I did mention this to my kid's dad, and I was told, "You let him hug you." And that's true, but I didn't feel like I had a choice.
Shelby, I'm going to hold your hand when I say this. And I'm so sorry this happened to you. And I completely agree that with what you're saying, and you shouldn't have had to do it. I want to go back to the beginning where he told your kid she was pretty. And you looked at her and said, "Say thank you." And then you said also, "So often we're taught to be nice, polite, accommodating, not make a scene, not embarrass someone, not to be rude. It starts when you're that young." And I think, like you said, I mean, you were raised that way. We were all raised that way. You have the power to stop that generational trauma and way of being brought up and speak to your kids in a way that lets them know you don't have to say thank you. If somebody tells you you're good looking, you don't have to say shit, especially if you're a fucking kid. And if you don't want to hug someone as a kid or as an adult, you should never have to. And saying those things to a man when you feel uncomfortable in front of your kids is life-changing. If they see you do that, and they're so young, you said two with you, the one-year-old, you know, but that's how they learn that, oh, I don't have to do that. And that's how the cycle breaks.
It's been fascinating to watch my nieces who are about to be 10 and just turned 12, like light bulbs pop off in their head when they'll go, tell me a wacky story, Aunt Heather, and I'll tell them stories and I'll say, and a man told me to do X. And I said, no, I'm not. Like, they look like shocked, almost like you could say no to people and stuff. And one, some guy was trying to force something into my youngest niece's hand. And she kind of was like, oh, I don't really like it. And her mom ran interference and was like, no, thank you. Like politely. But then she goes, ask your Aunt Heather what she says. And I always say very politely, I put my hands in like a prayer position, or I'll clasp them together, or I'll put them in my side. And I'll go, I don't like to be handed things. No, thank you. Like, no, thank you. And sometimes a no, thank you, like, goes a lot. It almost like short circuits their brain. But it sucks when someone rolls up like that and puts you in the position to have to be like, we're actually focused on adjectives that talk to her soul and not really her physical appearance, or we don't really want to train her to have comments on her physical appearance, because it's like, well, now I've had to make it into a big thing. It's like, that's, again, it's much like, well, you don't want to ruin this man's life. You're not making it a scene. They're the ones that are going to
ruining men's lives.
Yeah, might as well. Like I said, I think squirt, squirt, squirt with a squirt bottle. Like, get out of my face. I didn't ask what you thought. No, no, thank you. I'll go put my head in a dumpster if I want to know what you think. But no, like stuff like this where you're just like, no, thank you. Can I have a hug? No, thank you. No, thank you.
And you have to say thank you. No, just say no.
No, it's
like you don't have to be polite and say, no, thank you. I don't like those things. Just say no. Yeah. They you don't owe them anything. And yeah, sure. It's a thing we all say, like, oh, you're so cute as babies and stuff. But it really is that, like, and I've been thinking a lot lately of how often as a young girl, my looks were mentioned to me by adults and how in hindsight, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, it fucked me up bad. Stuff
so now,
up. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah, of course you don't say that to a 14-year-old girl when you're an adult. And maybe you don't even, it starts as young as like when they're a baby, they're one. It, you know, don't say that to her. Like, know, I mean, she doesn't need to. And even though she might not understand you, I do. And it makes me uncomfortable. So don't say that to my kid. And also get the fuck out and stop trying to sharpen my pencils like you're whittling some kind of knife on your front porch. Get the fuck out of here. You're not going to buy anything. Leave.
Right. If you don't get your ass out of here, I'm going to take the knife like Davy Crockett and make a raccoon skin hat out of your ass. Leave my grandmother's store right now. Yeah. And I think,
man, I had one of those growing up.
Dude, my dad got me one from Tennessee. And I remember being like, I think I got it
from the Alamo.
Yeah, it was like plush. You're like, this is so cool. But especially like with the hug stuff, I remember teaching my now 12-year-old niece. It was like her third birthday. She was so little, and some family member of a family member, like, I don't even know. It's like her dad's side of the family was just like an older man that was like, let me hug you. Come here. Let me get you. And she was and I said, no. And he was like, give me a hug, and started going for her. And she was like upset. And I was like, she doesn't want to hug you right now. And I looked at her. I said, do you want to give him a hug right now? And she went, no. And I was like, that's enough. She said, no. And like those moments, I was like, I don't know who this man is. He was probably like, who's that bitch with the baby? I don't care. I don't care, old man. That doesn't matter to me. But I always hoped, like, later on, like, being like, you don't have to hug someone you don't want to hug them. Like, you can give them a fist bump.
No matter what age you are.
You can greet them with a wave. Like, a nod from, I don't know why it's so weird that it's like, let this person rub their entire body up against your child and make the child feel smashed and weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where I think sometimes that's just like, well, that's what you do at a family reunion. You hug people you haven't seen. And it's like, and if they like that, cool. But if you get a no, I don't want to, you got to be cool with that too.
Right? It's like the kid can have consent. And if they're not old enough to say yes or no, then their parents are the default. And the parents are saying no, fuck off. Fuck off.
And as a parent, you have the power to say, to not say thank you, because that is what we are taught as girls, young girls, say thank you, be polite, don't make a scene, instead of make a fucking scene.
Right.
Who cares? if everyone else gets to make a scene, why can't you? We all should get to make scenes.
We're all the stars of our own show. Make the scene, you're the star. But if it's like, you're as pretty as your mom, and it's like, let's tell him instead of thank you, let's tell him we don't comment on other people's appearances or bodies. Is that
exactly
right? Yes. See you later. Please leave.
Bye.
Before I stab you with this cerulean colored pencil. But
and I'm glad that he's your ex, this guy who said, will you let him hug you? Bitch, that's not the reply ever.
Mm-mm.
Like, not only did you feel like you kind of had to, even if you did let him hug you, let is a loaded word. Your ex is an asshole, too, and sounds like he's just as much a part of the problem of that misogynistic way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. You let him hug you. Wrong answer. Start over. Try again.
Yeah. Well, I said that the other day. I said, try again. And Simon was like, what? And I'm like, you could try to say that again.
That was the wrong answer. Start over. Mm-hmm. So I don't get talked to like that. Start over. Well, thank you, Shelby. I appreciate you sending that in. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This next one's from Melinda, and the subject line is follow-up to weird cop story from last week's episode. Ladies, the email you got last week from the person, Sam or Samantha, right, who got pulled over by a cop while she was a passenger in her boyfriend's car, reminded me of something that happened to me when I was 25, and it's weirdly similar and freaky. When I was 25, my identical twin sister, I'll call her Amy because that's her name, came down to Raleigh for a weekend visit from D.C., where she was in law school. She had forgotten her license, and we went to a local pool hall on a rainy Saturday afternoon with some friends to play pool and drink some beers. Well, since Amy didn't have an ID with her, I let her use mine. I know, it's technically not legal, but I felt like I wasn't breaking any moral or ethical laws due to the fact that she and I were both 25 and therefore of legal drinking age. Something I should mention here. I had gone to the DMV at some point to get an ID for $5 so that I could use it for going out purposes. I figured if I lost it, it wouldn't be a big deal to replace and it was cheap. So I would leave my regular real driver's license at home and go out with my ID, which, by the way, looked just like a regular license, except it said ID only or something like that on the top. Well, she used my ID and then I went up to the bar to get myself a beer. Probably a Newcastle Brown or a Newquay Brune since it was 1991, and that's what I was drinking back then. Either that, if I was feeling fancy, or a Miller Genuine Draft, or, how do you say this, Genesee? I don't know, or a Guinness. Ah, memories. Then the bartender refused to serve me and said she was confiscating my ID. When I asked why, she said it had the wrong back. It had the regular driver's license back, probably barcodes and whatnot, and not a plain back, even though it clearly said ID only on the front. So obviously, she thought it was a fake ID, not to mention that both me and my twin had used the same ID. Anyway, busted. Wah, wah, wah. I kind of stewed about it the rest of the weekend, and then on Monday, called police headquarters to ask them if I could retrieve the ID. They said I could come to the main police headquarters and pick it up. So I drove all the way out there, which is pretty far, but not really that long of a drive, to pick it up. When I arrived at the police headquarters and told them my name, a detective came to usher me to her office and immediately read me my rights. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? I'm just here to pick up my ID that some bartender confiscated. And you guys said I should come pick it up. That's when the detective started playing hardball with me. I kept up my story that it was just me using the ID and I was trying to leave my sister out of it because that's what I thought had been the problem, that I shared my ID. Then the detective left me alone in her office to squirm for about 10 minutes. When she came back, she started asking me wild, seemingly random questions. And this is the part that reminded me of your other story. They asked me if I knew a person named, insert name here, who was my mother. But how the hell they knew that, I have no idea because my mom lived in South Carolina, not North Carolina, where this was all taking place. Then they asked me who lived at, insert address here. And then they started asking questions about Amy, who, as you might recall, lived in Washington, D.C. All of this info seemed out of left field, and I was like, how do they know all of this? They started reciting phone numbers, too, Basically, they knew pretty much everything about me and my birth family. Eventually, I caved and admitted that the ID was mine and that I had let my twin sister use it, but I didn't feel like I had committed a moral or ethical crime since we were both over 21. It turns out they were trying to find out where I got the fake ID. I kept telling them it was from the DMV. They really didn't believe me because it had been done incorrectly, but that was the truth. I asked for it back, but they wouldn't give it to me. So I'd driven like 15 miles away, was, I guess, arrested since they read me my Miranda rights, and then they didn't even give me my ID back. The point of the story is to let you all know that even in 1991, which was pre-internet, the authorities had way more information on us than we can even ever imagine. I'm sure it's infinitely more now. Thanks for letting me share my story and maybe relieve Sam's mind so that she doesn't think it was that unusual, though questioning the passenger and not the driver was sus. I'll write again to tell you about the time my parents traveled to a company Christmas party and we stayed in a sketchy motel. My parents hired a babysitter for me and my two sisters, aged about 6 and 4, as recommended by the innkeeper. And then, at some point, the babysitter's boyfriend came to the hotel and we were forced to go on a joyride with them while they bought beer and more. Terrifying to look back on. Love, Melinda.
Oh, the 90s were something.
Loose. Loose.
They were loose. Oh, man. I gotta agree that if you have an identical twin, I mean,
you should be able to share IDs.
If you want to be a stickler about it, but like clearly you're from the same egg. You're the same age. Okay. You were born within seconds of each other. So I feel like they got a real stick up their ass about that one. The ID onlys, I don't think I ever had one of those, but were they the ones that were like up and down?
That was when you were under 21. I had an ID only when I was in Chicago, and it did look just like a driver's license, but it just said like state ID at the top instead of driver's license. I could see how if you were at the DMV and you picked the wrong blank and you didn't pick the ID blank, you picked the driver's license blank and they just printed it on there. But it's crazy that you weren't like, that the cops weren't like, well, we'll go check with the DMV and see if this is legit. Like, just fucking call somebody. Why am I having to prove the legitimacy of a thing I got from the fucking government? I have to prove to the government that the government made a thing? That's crazy double government work.
No, that's, it's also on this bartender for not easily recognizing something. She probably wasn't trained on it. Who even knows? Mm-mm. Wild, though, that they were so like a hard up to bust this ring of that they're like willing to call out your mom and people that don't even live in the state.
They're like, I don't think Nancy would appreciate hearing about this. You're like, Nancy knows how old I am and doesn't care.
Crazy. Kathy knows I'm 25. And also, this is wild. Like, why am I even here?
No, it's weird. It's not weird. It's, I think, disheartening to hear how much time and law enforcement resources are spent on a not fake idea of a not underage person when we just had a couple of stories ago, like really horrific crimes where the cops were like, listen, man, just drop the charges. You're like, you drop the charges. This idea is real.
It's such an innocent, it's not even an offense in my opinion, but if you want to like split hairs about it, it's such an innocent offense. And this is another one that I'm like, if these were two twin guys, this shit wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
They're not getting called down to the police station. And, you know, it's, I really do think even things like this, and maybe not even consciously, but subconsciously, it's because you're women. Like with Sam's story, the man who was driving, not asked a question.
Mm-hmm.
Cop questions her as the passenger. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the point of that?
No, I mean, it's, you're right. I think there probably is a gender bias of a reticence to believe a woman's story over a man's story. I'd be interested on what like studies there are that met that out. That's a gut feeling on mine, but I would.
Same. I have no statistics, but I'd bet my house that I'm not wrong. So.
Right. You're like, but I'm pretty sure.
But
I'm right.
But, pretty sure I'm right about it.
But I wonder too, if like the studies show that police often believe men over women. And
for sure.
Even if it's something like this.
Yeah.
Like where it's like an ID.
No. Yeah. I mean, I think men across the board historically and currently are believed more than women. So if you've got a male cop? Are they more likely to bring in a 25-year-old female or a 25-year-old male to sit there and question them about something? Yeah. Or if it's the male, they're like, this is not even that much of an offense. Just go on. We saw that with 14-year-old boys that have committed rape, they're saying, it's not that big of a deal. The girls, whatever. Their lives are ruined, but it's whatever. So,
get over it.
Yeah, it's like things that big and things this small.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a woman, it's just the cards are stacked against you.
No, they really are. And I did a brief Google, and yeah, there's peer-reviewed studies from like PubMed and all kinds of Science Direct and stuff. That's like there is multiple peer-reviewed studies, DOJ investigations, survivor surveys document a pattern of police being more skeptical of women's reports and what they report when asked. So, you know, sometimes your gut's right for a reason. Well, Melinda, I'm sorry that happened, but you know, that's the kind of thing that you don't forget when you're like, or two truths and a lie, where you're like, I was once arrested.
Yeah.
So tell us about it.
And to read you your Miranda, I would have so passed dramatic. Out. Like, yeah. What? I thought I was coming to just pick this up. I would have brought someone, my mom or somebody, if this was going to go down.
Right. It's like, I need someone to take my car home. It's going to get impounded from the lot. Well, I'm sorry. They were probably just trying to scare you, Melinda. But Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This final one we've got, speaking of scary, we've got a theory on our snake from the prior episode, and Emily has written in with her Jafar theory. Hey, gals, love your pod. First-time writer, long-time listener. I have a Jafar theory. Hear me out. First, as the mom of a kid with a snake, thank you for not making it a thing that people keep snakes for pets. My grand snake is a ball python, Cosmo, who has never escaped. Knock on wood. My Jafar theory is that Jafar was already out when mom got to the house. Jafar slithered out when he had the opportunity and curled up under mom's car or inside near the warm mechanical parts. Snakes love to be warm and also love them dark places. So, unbeknownst to anyone, Jafar gets transported back to mom's house. He may be dead already and the dog found and played with his body. Or he was alive, slithered out, and encountered the dog who did what dogs do with snakes. What do you all think? Love to you both. Let's get abducted together. Cheers, Emily. P.S. Here's my pet tax contribution. My cat June adores our 90-pound lab, Rocco. In her opinion, they're besties for life. Rocco's still a little shy around her because she hissed at him when they first met. Nonetheless, their budding friendship brings me joy every day.
Oh, my goodness. I love when they sleep on the same beds together and snuggle.
When they're like, when this is how it's been with Philly and the Goose, who is like, Philly's our new puppy. And whenever she like goes over and will like snuggle next to Lucy, and Lucy like looks at her like, you can stay. And then I'll walk off and come back.
I'll allow
and I'm like,
it.
They're snoring together. It's something so sweet about that. I think your theory's got some legs, even though the snake doesn't.
Yeah, I agree. This makes sense to me. Yeah. This makes a lot of sense. I hadn't considered the car portion, but you're right. That happens with snakes. It happens with cats during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Animals that are just like outside and need to get warm will get up in there. So, yeah, just makes a lot of sense.
I'm sorry, Jafar, that you were not just transported in a less harsh way. But
yeah,
that's what sucks whenever they, you know, they don't know or the kittens that do it too. Which, although I got a cat, that's where my cat Fred, that God, we had that cat for 20 years. It was like my college cat. And I got Fred out of a car engine outside a Magic Time Machine. Somebody went to start their car and was like, my car is meowing. And our manager was like, don't you start that engine, and got a soup ladle and went in with the soup ladle and like ladled the little kitten out. It was so cute. And I put her all cozy. And
had she crawled up from underneath?
I must have.
That's how they do it, I guess.
Yeah, must have.
I mean, get so up in there. I don't know.
Get up in there. But check your engines in the wintertime, or if for you're sure, in, I guess, yeah, Australia or somewhere where you're where it's cold out right now, if that's anywhere in the world. But yeah, man, I think this is a grandmama, a snake grandma would know, I think.
Grand Snake. Cosmo, great name, by
so
the way.
Good. So good.
I think this is a really good theory. I'm still curious if other people have others. So if you do, mm-hmm, please let us know.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much to everyone for sending in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. Totally free. You just enter your email address. You get immediate access to everything, which includes not only Sunday Scaries and the videos before they get edited for YouTube, but also a whole backlog of content for free members, just as a thank you for signing up.
Hell yeah. And you can also stick around to the end of the Sunday Scaries broadcast to get a special discount code that will get you 50% off your first month for new Patreon subscribers. So make sure you join for free on Patreon. And then if you're trying to check out some of our bonus content, get it at a deal, baby.
Mm-hmm. If you like our free episodes like this one, you will love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free, like we just said, to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content. Like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. We just had one discussing several cases.
We did. We talked about the sentencing of Rex Huerman. We talked about a terrorist group and someone on the FBI's most wanted list that is targeting youths on the internet, mm-hmm, out of North Texas. And we also talked about a potential future sheriff who took the law into his own hands. And we'll see if he wins his sheriff race. But he did a crime that I don't even think he would have been convicted for. But you tell, mm-hmm, us. Go over and listen to True Crime Headlines. We also have an asshole, Am I the Asshole segment. We don't have a collective asshole between ourselves, but we have an Am I the Asshole segment. Yeah, we'll get there. After we sun it in the, lay out in the sun with it enough. Mm-hmm. But an Am I the Asshole segment that I think I'm interested to get a lot of people's takes, because there were a couple of them on there where people had, you know, NTA, YTA, and mm-hmm, I like a split decision. So
you
we
like
need
a
to
split
know.
Asshole.
I like, yeah, my assholes to get split right down the middle. So thanks. Tune in.
Yes, and tune in for all of that over there.
We also offer free trials, so if you just want to listen to a whole week's worth of content, binge everything, check out all the perks, and just cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. If you stick around, do an annual membership, you get 1 month free, and so many things.
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Plus, head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thanks so much for all the kind words and 5 stars. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Call the orbs with us. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, you're just trying to treat yourself, get yourself a pep talk, baby. Book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever it is you've done, we would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. Thoughtful gift. It's a unique gift every time, and you don't have to leave the house or put on pants to order it. Go to the internet website, www.cameo.com/sinisterhood, and get your cameo today. Where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm all over the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.